Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
evening. Good evening, as we are in 10 Canada String from Vancouver, British Columbia. My name is Michael Lewis Ingram, and welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Mall. Our Hump Day special will be a little different tonight because we have to reel in some facts and deal with some reality. The true depth of a tragedy never really becomes one until it's in your backyard. And we have with us today on our panel our family who have been directly affected by the terrorism against black people in Buffalo, New York. With me, my colleague, my friend, and my brother, strong black man Patrick Freeman. He has been a mainstay in Buffalo for years and has family and deep roots in the community. With me on my panel as well are Radio Reggie, Tony McLean, Gary Norris Gray, and we are going to get to a bunch of stuff, but nothing was more important than dealing with this off the top. Brother Freeman did not live very far from where the tragedy hit, and fortunately he and his are here alive and well. Pat, can you hear me?
I'm here. How you doing tonight?
Good evening, brother, and good evening to the panel. Please, Pat, tell us as best you can what exactly happened and where you were when all went down.
Well, I was shopping at another supermarket. I had taken my mother to a different supermarket on that day, and it happened around 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. And we started getting alerts that it was something bad had happened on Jefferson, that there was a shooting. And as time unfolded, we started realizing that there was multiple fatalities. And we, you know, as time went on, we realized, too, that these were people that we knew. A lot of them we did know very, very well. And unfortunately, when all was said and done, you had 13 people shot, but 10 were fatalities. And the officer on duty, Aaron Salter, his mother used to be the general manager at WFO radio station. And he had just retired from the Buffalo Police Department after 30 years. And when the guy exited the car, he shot 4 people in the parking lot. And then on his way into the building, that's when Aaron confronted him and got off 2 rounds, but they did not hurt him because he was wearing a military-grade body armor. And even though he shot him in lethal areas, because he was wearing military-grade body armor, the shots had no effect on him, and he
So the ex-cop hit him center mass and nothing happened because of the body armor.
Yes, sir. Yep. And that military-grade body armor has still been made available to average citizens. And people that have these aspirations of evil, they can get their hands on this body armor and military-grade weapons and do this type of damage. And that is really very concerning, along with not only did he attempt to stop the individual and did everything he was trained to do, but this individual was well-prepared. They said that he was in Buffalo on Friday and had been there in March doing reconnaissance on this so-called mission of his. And he was heavily influenced by the internet and Fox Television. A lot of the things that they are putting out there, and it basically amounts to the fear of genetic annihilation. And they're calling this some form of conspiracy, but it's natural genetics. That's what it is. But
that's right.
This is a travesty of high multitudes that has put a dark cloud over the black community of Buffalo. And I know your colleague, Fred, his brother's church was not two blocks from where this incident happened, St. Luke's AME Zion Church on East Ferry near Jefferson. It was very close to there. So this is it's probably the most devastating incident that I have been associated with this closely. And I think it's probably one of the worst massacres that have affected our community since Dylann Roof attacked the church in Charleston.
And you know, if I can speak on that. Pat, if I can speak on that, I have a feeling.
Yes, sir.
We talked about this when that little son of a bitch did this stuff in South Carolina. The young lady who followed Dylann Roof and was able to track him down really is a heroine, because he was supposed to get away. And in my humble, he was supposed to be one of several Manchurian candidates, if you want to call them that, young men who
yes,
are going to come out there and simply do that kind of evil on command. Again, I have Gary,
yes,
Reggie, and Tony with me. And gentlemen, please chime in on this, if you will.
Well, I mean, you know, not to the sad thing is that it's just a reminder of how we as black people are still under siege here in this country.
Damn right.
My question now is, what will America do about this? Over and over and over again. I mean, come on.
Well, not until Gary, you know what, not to be morbid, not to be whatever, but you know what? Until white blood is shed, they're not going to care. You know, they you know, the thing, let's put it this way. There's probably going to be more people that are upset that he mutilated animals than he killed black people.
That's
okay.
True.
You know what, I said this 3 years ago, I said this. The United States of America will not have gun control until black people have guns.
Big
black people get guns, then you'll see gun control. Until then,
there'll be gun control like a motherfucker. That's exactly right. That's right.
Yeah, I agree.
Let the brothers and sisters get their own Roscoes. We had gun control in a heartbeat, because it'll get controlled real quick. And
well,
not to be funny,
if you remember that all gun control started in California
after
the rise of the Panther Party.
When
the Panther Party started marching on people armed and ready. All of a sudden, they needed gun control. So Gary is absolutely correct. I've told everybody, look here. This was an armed attack on your community. It's an act of war.
Now,
if you want to fight a war on your knees, that's a good place to start, but it better not be where you end. When you get up off your knees, you better be ready to defend yourself.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line. Now, we have already tracked, there are 35 hate groups active in Western New York. Now, somebody had to have given this guy that location. I don't buy this, oh, he looked up zip codes on the internet.
Somebody
assisted him in locating this location. He did more than two different trips of reconnaissance. That is military-style training. Are you telling me an 18-year-old can do that by himself? No possible way. And Mike mentioned before, the Manchurian candidate, that is true stuff. That is not something just in a movie. It is called the MK Ultra Military Program.
Thank you.
And it is mind control. And they roll these guys out periodically to do this. Now, we need to find out where they are, who they are, and identify them ourselves.
Absolutely.
Now, you're going to wait for people that are members of the organization to find out who they are. You are fooling yourselves. Look at who attacked the Capitol. Right? Those are members of the police, members of the military, corporate heads. All of them marched on Washington. What makes you think that they're not behind this also?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey, Pat, I got a question for you. When the so-called officials came out and said it was white supremacy, a hate crime, I was kind of shocked. I'm like, how they forcibly came out with that? Was that just a cover?
Those are Democratic talking points now. Those are all Democratic talking points. Hate crimes, white supremacy has become a Democratic talking point. So I was not surprised at that at all. But they automatically went to the lone wolf thing, just like James Earl Ray. The lawyer, he was by himself. There is no possible way you can convince me that an 18-year-old had that type of training on his own.
Thank you. That's exactly right.
Hey Pat, man, real quick, Mike. Pat, what is the elderly feel in the community? Because as soon as I heard it, I called my Rachel, man. I was freaking out, man. How's your mom taking and the friends that you might, especially the elderly, but they haven't seen enough like this in their life?
Well, everybody is affected because we knew many of the victims. This man shot and maimed the 86-year-old mother who had just left the nursing home taking care of her husband every day since he's been there for 8 years with dementia. Her son is Garnell Whitfield, the former fire commissioner, is a member of my lodge, one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. They are devastated, and they have a right to be. And the community is devastated along with them. Certainly, these families are traumatized.
Let me say this. 1 hour after the incident in Buffalo, in Danville, Illinois, Danville, California, five guys went downtown with a 10x10 sheet with a sign that says "White Lives Matter." White Lives Matter. I mean, how can you do that 1 hour after you heard the news about Buffalo?
Well, Gary, you know, guys, just to add to this, and again, just to further the fact that this didn't just come out of the air, May 14th it's the, I don't know what year it started, but the Knights, organization called the Knights of White Camellia,
yep.
Paramilitary white supremacist organization, was founded in Louisiana on May 14th. Again, I don't have the year.
Right.
I'm going to guess, you know. So, again, as you remember, the day of, you know, the day that Dylann Roof did his thing, I believe it was like Ben Marvesi's birthday or what have you. Again,
yes.
Things don't just come out of the atmosphere.
No.
They don't.
And,
they don't.
Anthony, on the 14, he had 14 written on the gun.
That's just my point. That's just my point. That's just my point.
Two.
Sophie.
And he had 14 written on the gun and niggers.
Yeah,
that's
right.
On the gun barrel. And these are sacred dates to white supremacists.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. There are two factoids we need to break out in this, as I want Pat to continue with this, please. You got to remember that our show is a little over 10 years old, but we've been talking about this for years. The world is getting darker. We know it. Everybody else knows it. And it's not a fucking thing they can do about it. The other thing that needs to be said is that there's one race. One, Homo sapiens. Many ethnicities,
right.
One race. And that a white botanist from Austria, Gregor Mendel, in the mid-1800s, discovered the laws which would break down the truth that there is no superiority in the so-called white race. You know, it's bullshit because everything that they say has to do with superiority is recessivity, right down to the eye color, hair color, and lack of melanin. These are not positive traits. These are not traits that engender superiority over anyone or anything. And the mainstream media is guilty of not telling everybody what the fuck the real truth is about these things. Now, Patrick,
right.
If you realize, we have Professor Fred in the mix. The NFL and Roger Goodell is also left-handedly involved in this. Please elucidate.
Right. I think it's time that we make a demand that the NFL it hold Fox Network accountable for the information that they are allowing to come out, which is causing now deaths, it's causing
yes.
extremism, but you want to make them part of your huge broadcasting deal that pays each owner over $321 million apiece. We need to make a
mm-hmm.
demand that your league, which is over 80% African-American athletes, that you pull your games off that racist network until they change their policies on how their journalists are spitting out factual information. They're putting out non-factual information. They're putting out innuendo, and they're putting out propaganda, which is creating extremism and is now causing us to lose lives on a multiple level. This is the second or third instance that it's been African-Americans that have been targeted, but you have to remember that some of these guys have attacked schools, malls. This guy was planning on doing, as Mike said earlier, he was not planning on stopping at that one supermarket. He had three or four other places that he had tagged that he was going to attack also. And I think now it's time for us to make a demand that the NFL, you either have force Fox to hold their journalists accountable, or you need to pull your games off that network.
Absolutely. Mike, just to further the
yes,
information
sir.
For the Knights of the White Camellia. It began in Louisiana in 1867 under the under the name of the leader. I'm not sure if I'm saying the name correctly. Alcibiades de Blanc. The whole thing was that their tactics included harassment, flogging, and sometimes murder. It produced a reign of terror along the state of Louisiana back in 1868. Matter of fact, as recent as 1939, the anti-Semitic West Virginian George E. Dethridge was describing himself as the national commander of the Knights of the White Camellia. And in 1990, a group which was based in eastern Texas adopted the name. And under the book called The Soldiers of God, the New Age White Camilla has a strong influence from the city of Vida, Texas. Ever since of the White Camilla name, it's spelled with a, by the way, the Camilla in their mind, in their eyes, it's spelled with a K, not a C.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's no, also remember this, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which creates every quarter a chart of the country and the number of hate groups that are surrounded all of it. This is not a Deep South kind of Lynch and Emmett Till thing. These motherfuckers are everywhere. You have more hate groups listed in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, etc., than you have most of the states down south, with the possible exception of Texas. So let's not get this shit twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is an equal opportunity employer, and when it comes to white folks, the white supremacy, it spreads itself just like mayonnaise on a wasted piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what the fuck is going on, and they know how long it's been going on. That the bills...
Just remember what Malcolm said back in the day. It ain't about the South. Stop talking about the South. If you're south of the North Pole, you're South. So that
Thank
includes
you.
All of North America. That includes all of North America
exactly
and what happened.
Mm-hmm. We have with us Professor Fred Whitty. Professor Patrick stated earlier that the incident where the terrorism happened in Buffalo was not far from your brother's church. First of all, good evening, and I hope he's okay. What else can you add to this on this particular situation?
Well, good evening. He's in good hands. He passed away a few years ago. But
that's good.
His church, St. Luke and the Zion Church, along with several other churches, that they're actually down the street from where the old stadium, the Buffalo Bills, played in before he moved out to the middle of nowhere. But, you know, I kind of watched. It's been 30-plus years since he was there, so I don't really know any of the people. One of the times I got to meet a lot of people, it was during the winter, so you know how much I wasn't out there. And then the summertime, you know, you go up to Niagara Falls, it's only, I think, 8 or 9 miles away. But, you know, there are probably some people in that group that I actually have met. And that's, you know, you're talking about hitting home. When I first heard Buffalo, the first thing I thought about was there's a gentleman who I think is like deputy mayor or something named Darius that was one of his mentees for years. And
Darius
Pridgen. Yeah. Matter of fact, Darius took a lot of time near the latter part of his life because he lost a brother. He had amputated leg below the knee, and he was not about being in a wheelchair, and Darius was very helpful. But, you know, I know for once Darius comes, so it'd be his family. And when people like that, that's the first thing you sift through. Okay, who there do I know? Who's there that I kind of know? Who's there that, you know, I just a passing acquaintance or whatever? But you know, we're in a desperately crazy situation. And, you know, in the people, you know, we had this discussion Sunday, less than 24 hours after the thing occurred. So I was with the group. I said, no. We got people out here, you know, we're coming to the, in North Carolina, we had a primary election yesterday. And we're
yes.
talking about how many these quote unquote white Christians we have been involved with over the years and what their take on this would be. And, you know, one of the run-ins I had with this group some years ago was if it took George Floyd, that meant the guy's neck on George Floyd's neck to even make him think or blink, you have a major problem. It ain't scriptural.
Yeah.
It's just pure stupidity. You got, you know, you want to go hunting Bambi with a cannon. You don't want nobody. You don't want no checks and balances. You know, and then when something happens, well, we're going to pray for you and the Lord bless it. No. God blesses what you do or even what you attempt to do. He won't bless when you do nothing. So, you know, and see, I purposely disabled the, I call it the preacher channel on my TV because I don't even, you know, I grew up, for those who don't know, I grew up on a farm. I know about cow shit. I know about bull shit. I know about mule and horse shit. I know about chicken shit. And it all comes out together. And you no matter what it smells like, put it next to pig shit, it's still shit. So, we have to, again, we got to filter certain things out just to be who we are. And in one of the publications that somebody posted may have been on Facebook because, you know, there's a lot of stuff flying out there right now. But one of the things that I agree with is I'm tired of being resilient. I'm tired of being able to bounce back, overcome, you know, stuff that we shouldn't even have to even encounter. And we just had an election where at least one of the idiots that Trump was supporting in North Carolina lost. The nutcase who thought he could get on a airplane with a gun.
Yeah, the punk kid.
And the guy in the Gary, his disability is more between his ears than it is. And then there's a couple others, and I know up you all where you all you all are about to get the Wizard of Oz going to the Senate.
Well, that's
true. Yes. But we still got to be aware, because it's not just that crackpot out shooting people. And then when you see the cops come, he dropped the gun. And interestingly enough, the cops approach him, don't even pull the guns.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
There's no question about it.
What is that? What does that say? See, that tells me everything I need to know. You don't pull a gun. A guy has armor and an AK-47. You don't pull your gun. Get out of here.
Patrick,
you know,
he pointed the gun at himself.
Are you more surprised,
let him shoot and kill himself?
Well, then you become law enforcement wise. If you point the gun at yourself, that is a trained tactic. He didn't do that.
Yes.
By accident. In law enforcement, when a person points the gun on himself, you now must stop the suicide.
Yeah.
It stopped them from shooting him. That's a law enforcement rule.
And part of the premise there is you don't, depending on what kind of gun he may or may not have, quite possibly more than one bullet can be fired before he and all that other yang that goes along with that. But, you know, we had a situation here a few months ago where this off-duty deputy shot this guy for jumping on the hood of his pickup truck. Now, for you all who don't know, all you all who are north of the Mason-Dixon line, pickup trucks are the next best thing to thoroughbred horses or thoroughbred cows. You don't mess with white folks' pickup trucks. And yes, there were some mental issues there, but he gets out and fires 3 shots into him and missed with the 4 shot with his service revolver. And now he has been fired from the sheriff's department, but then it doesn't look like it's going to be any. At this point, it doesn't look like there's going to be any prosecution. And mind you, the DA here is so in bed with the sheriff and the police chief, both of whom are black. But there are times you wonder.
It's bothering me, Fred. Patrick, I gotta ask you. So the president comes up to Buffalo Tuesday. Were you more annoyed by it, or were you just numbed by the fact that he would come in there and basically give lip service to Buffalo instead of really offering something of value in terms of making sure black people are fucking safe? Because he went out of his way to make it clear that Asians were a priority, but black people weren't. What were your vibes after hearing him make his appearance in Buffalo on Tuesday?
Well, he had no legislation. He had no program he offered. He only offered sympathy and empathy. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was the consoler. But he did not offer any strategy for gun control or civil rights protection. Black people have been under attack, not only from extremists from the community, but extremists that are on your law enforcement.
Thank you.
You know, that's just a true fact. I mean, he offered nothing. He offered nothing other than compassion. That's what he did. He was very compassionate.
Has anybody heard anything from the vice president? Has the vice president said anything?
She's made statements.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing,
there's
the,
nobody
the thing
offering any legislation.
The thing you got to remember there is the vice president. I mean, beyond certain courtesies and whatnot, unless she finds a way to remove the president from. Basically, I just use the term over her, then there's not much she can do but reflect what he says and follow what he needs her to do. I mean, you're talking about one of the coolest puppets there is. Because, see, one of the things that has irked me really bad when it comes to the birth areas of these people making all these outlandish claims against the government and all this, you know, a good 101 in government, state and local government, federal law. You don't have to be a lawyer. Just know that the Senate and the House of Representatives make up the Congress. Okay? Just basic stuff. And there's nothing more tragic than to catch some of the people that we had like running in the state of North Carolina for various congressional or senatorial seats. And you start listening to him, and then you realize, wait a minute, this fool don't even know what he's running for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a conservative. I'm a liberal. No, you're an idiot. And see, those are the kinds of things that have really reminded me why I get really upset about some of this nonsense. Because, you know, like I said, you know, I have a degree in political science, so I mean, I know the basis of how all this stuff works. Even with changes made since the early 70s when I took these classes. At the same time, though, we got people out there, people in high places who don't know. And because I had to explain just a week ago what the 50-50 rule is when it comes to North Carolina and Democrats. Well, what's the 50-50 rule? The 50-50 rule is that black vote, black Democrats, especially from the state eastern part of North Carolina, will only travel 50 miles to an event and will only buy tickets for $50. They will not stay overnight. They go and come just to have their face seen in the crowd, and they'll leave at night because, well, you know, so-and-so, I shook hands with so-and-so, and I'm out of here. But see, the people who get their axle grease, so to speak, they're the ones who stick and stay. I mean, so what
right.
You stay in a two-room hotel? You stay, and you buttonhole them, you know, whatever. And you have to put pressure on them. And because they know this trend among our black leaders, many of whom shouldn't be leading silent prayer, but they do. And they work their way up the chain. And for instance, like a few years ago, we had this gentleman who was running for the state senate. And he stands up and he says, makes this long diatribe about how he didn't really lose. Okay, all he had to do was win the primary because there was no Republican running in that district. And he's just making a big deal about he sounded almost like a black Trump. Well, I really didn't lose. Okay, first of all, this guy who beat you is a versatile on number two. He worked and you didn't. Okay, step two, he got more votes than you did. Step three, he the one who, what's the term they use? He is the one who is the senator elect for the, I think it was District 22. Okay, you ain't. And the sad thing about it, you know, he and I were talking about, you know what? His wife is a Ram, so I said, you know, I pity her because she's been locked up in the house the last almost 40 years with somebody as dumb as you. Because you say, you went to Elizabeth City, I went to Winston, so we cool, supposed to be. But here you come, and the guy that beat you was an Abby. It wasn't bad that he beat you. It wasn't just bad that he beat you. He beat you bad. And now you're going to go into denial about how you didn't lose. And see, when you got people out there who are in high places who are that delusional, you're destined to have stuff like this. And, you know, the other thing that's on the forefront is, you know, this whole situation with Delaware State's women's lacrosse team. You know, I can't say I was shocked when I saw this, but I wasn't surprised. Homeboy, who to me favorite Ben Crump, he's up there talking about how he supported his deputy. Okay, you support deputies who pulled, okay, a deputy pulled over a bus. The next thing you know, you got a bus. After 2 minutes, somehow or another, there you got a bunch of deputies swarming the bus. Where this dog supposedly alerted the officers to, I guess we smell marijuana or whatever, some type of drug. Okay. I mean, dogs, okay, for y'all who don't know, dogs will alert for a Twinkie, okay? They don't care. You can't totally train the dog out of his nature.
No.
And then all of a sudden, all these... And see, it wasn't until a few days later that anybody even saw the sheriff of that county. But he's, you know, he's another one of those delusional ones. Like I know, time we got a what kind of government who doesn't who says there's no such thing as systemic racism?
Yeah.
I would guess, and so he's the one that got caught with his pants down because he eventually admitted that he had paid for an abortion when he was in his younger days when he was, you know, he was not quite.
Yes.
How can we Bob revisited earlier about the NFL box? How can they do that when 22 of the owners paid money to Donald J. Trump?
Well, his name is so much.
30 owners are Trump supporters.
Gary,
now,
it's not even that they support Trump. It's the fact that they already know where their politics lean. The Buffalo Bills actually did something, and Patrick is going for right now, unfortunately, because I wanted to ask if they still have any proof for everything that's done. Yes.
Michael, what I'm saying to you is this. If I'm an African American player,
yes,
and I see this going on in Buffalo, I see this going on in Colorado, and I see this going on in California, I'm telling the owner, look, I can't play for you with this. I can't play for you with this guy that is going on. We had to stop. African-American players.
I got that. That's true.
Don't raise me and talk about independence, liberty, and justice.
That's a pipe dream, Gary.
They all got co-opted
and all that. You know, it wasn't so much that they were trying to be progressive as the NFL wanted to see how far are these motherfuckers going to go. You know,
yeah,
I know you're rolling,
but Gary, I hate to bust your bubble, but Jim Brown took money from Donald Trump with his American program. So it's cool about
come on, that's
dollars.
What I was going to say. Thank you, Reggie. Yes, that's right.
So you want to keep it real, Gary? I'm going to keep it real with you. That was Jim Brown that did that. Now his national worth is over $50 million because Donald Trump gave him money. And Gary, I love you, Jeff, brother, but just be honest. The amount of money these players are making now are more than what some corporations made back during that time period.
I don't have a problem with Jim Brown being a Republican. In many ways, he was Republican for the right reasons in terms of generating funds and creating opportunities for folks to get jobs and stuff. My problem is the fact that Buffalonians, black Buffalonians, are going to sleep tonight with the feeling that my streets ain't safe. Now, they're already in the hood. Don't tell them that they have to worry about, well, any old random white boy that's going to be walking around has the potential to be a fucking dumb asshole and just fire on folks and get away with it. Remember, he said he was not guilty. He pleaded not guilty already. This is a fucking mess, and it's going to remain a mess for a while. But don't get shit twisted, because there's so much more to this that will have to come out before anything really hits the fan. I'm sorry Patrick is gone. I'm going to get into more of that. But I also want to talk to our next guest. Well, she ain't a guest because she's part of the group. She is our Bloodlines expert. And we're going to be talking about the Preakness with Miss Jennifer Thibodeau-Bort, my little sis. Jenny, what's going on?
Hey, it's going.
And now I know you heard a little taste of this, Jenny. What's your feeling? Because you know, we're talking about what happened in Buffalo. How you feel about this?
Oh, my God. You already know how I feel about that. I'm sitting on a powder keg of rage that this little pale skin was kid-gloved again. The only thing they didn't do for him was stop at McDonald's for the little bastard.
Yeah.
Or at least he didn't report it.
I don't care if they would have been male or female. Anybody else other than a white man would have been shot and killed. No second chance. No talking.
No question.
No negotiation, no nothing. It would have been instant.
Yep.
It's disgusting. We don't have so much as just a gun problem. We have a violent, raging, white male problem. And they've got easy access to guns. It boggles my mind. And to see the jokes going across Facebook, I'm as pale as they come, and I am disgusted with my skin folk. I really am. And that's the point. I'm gonna go with it, or I'm gonna lose my atheism real quick. it's infuriating. It is absolutely infuriating.
So we can change the subject a little bit. We are talking about the big race this Saturday, the Preakness, which will not have the Kentucky Derby winner in it, and that in itself is a question. Why and what, in your opinion, Jenny, do you think happened with the putting together of the Kentucky Derby upset at 82-1?
That is, I still can't wrap my head around that. I've never seen something like that happen before. I think that's the first. And now he blows by, hits the big paycheck, and now he's sitting out the Preakness.
Yep.
And I'm betting he's going to run in the Belmont. I'm betting he's going to run in the Belmont. He's going to come in fresh and win 2 of 3, or that's what he's going to hope for. I don't like it. You know how I feel about that. I do not like that. You're in for all or you're in for none. I can understand scratching in the second race or the third race due to an injury. I get it. But this? No. No. I don't like it. Now, to be fair, though, 9 horses, and they're all quality. You know, and you got good jockeys to boot.
The field
now,
looks solid,
it's a small
but
field.
I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to ask the question, though. As they set this race up, the Kentucky Derby has 20 horses. Anything beyond 20, you get scratched or you're waiting in the also eligibles. This horse came from the AEs. Now, when he came in, I believe it was Friday when they announced the scratch and added him in. Now, what's the possibility of a horse that nobody has seen, has one win, but from a pedigree standpoint, looks like a red-headed stepchild compared to the rest of the horses in the field?
About the same chances as I got it being 6 foot tall. And we all know I'm only 4 foot 9, so that's not happening. And the odds were long, put it to you that way. Personally, I find it fishy. I'm not going to lie. And I am not, you know, I'm not one of those kind of conspiracy theorists either. You know, normally I see things and take them at face value. But I'm picking up a distinct odor, and it's not a horse pile.
Why did that horse have a problem with not the roses? They put the rose on him, and he freaked the hell out. What was that about?
Well, that could be any number of things. That could be, you know, just from his nerves. Thoroughbreds, in particular racing ones, are high strung. It don't take much to spook one. That is a prey animal. And a prey animal is driven by instinct. I used to ride a little Welsh pony, for some ungodly reason, he was scared of the little marker signs that mark a bridge. He was terrified of them. You swear they were going to eat him. Any other, he could handle plastic bags, everything thrown at him, except for looking at that sign would drive him nuts. He may have seen it the wrong way, a combination of the crowd noise and all the excitement in that center circle. That could be any number of things that just, it was that one thing too much. You know, it just, that's how a prey animal's brain works. He probably saw that thing of roses coming in and do, oh my God, it's going to eat me. Before he catches, saying, wait, I'm safe. Horses, you learn real quick to stay on your toes around them and watch for everything because you never know what might spook them. You know, mm-hmm. A gust of wind can scare the crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be extremely careful when you approach a horse from behind because he will kick you.
Oh, and not just from behind, from straight on as well, and from underneath and directly above.
Yep.
Now we're talking about now we're talking about politicians or horses.
Let me put it to you this way: I will run up on a horse's rear end full tilt boogie long before I will ever get anywhere near a politician.
There you go.
With a child horse before I try with a politician.
There you go.
And when you think you are in the safe zone, that is the prime strike zone. That is where you're going to get kicked and you're going to get your head taken off because you're in the perfect spot. You are too close. And what I've taught my kids from the time they could walk, you either stay up against them with your hand on them at all times or you stay 4 or 5 lengths away from them. And when I'm around a horse, my hand is always on them. That way they know exactly where I am. And I'm talking to them or humming, making some kind of noise so that they can pinpoint exactly where I'm at.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, Jenny, you speak to him. Don't you kick my ass because I'm right next to you. I might slip your carrot if you're good to me. But
kind of like what Doc Pohl does on Nat Geo Wild. If you kick me, I'm going to kick you back. And they do pick up on your tone of voice. If you can say, oh, I'm gonna sell you for glue. Da-da-da. And if you're doing it in a loving tone, they eat that up. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
see, there you go.
It's not the words being said. It's the tone.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's been said about racing is that there are horses for courses. Now, sometimes a fast track will mean a certain result, but other times if there's different conditions on the track, other things may happen. Now, the weather forecast for Maryland is going to be a 30% chance of rain on Saturday. Now, supposedly it's going to rain tomorrow, but Jenny, a muddy track can make a difference. There are horses go ahead.
Well, I did some more digging on all 9.
Yep.
And they are all going to take bloodlines, so they've all got the potential to run in the mud.
Uh-huh.
Now, a couple of them got more potential for it than the others. And I just pulled up the weather forecast. They're saying a 4% chance of rain at race time.
Okay.
But it's going to be mid-90 degrees with the heat index. It's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to come into play as well. And, of course, your horses that are used to running in high humidity and heat will fare better because they're already conditioned to that.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that aren't are going to pay a price.
Jenny, I was asking Mike this the other night. You know, now you go from the overly large field with the Derby and then basically a small field now. Now, is it easier to bet a smaller draw than it is a bigger draw, or vice versa? What's your vibe on that?
It really depends on the quality of the horses coming in. The better quality you've got, the more solid a bet can be, because there's less that unknown factor, and you only have a set amount that, you know, there's only a set amount of outcomes that can happen. The larger the field, the more possible outcomes you've got. Now, if you play those big long superfectas and stuff, the larger numbers, you might get a little bit of an edge. But on the small ones, to me, it seems like you would have a better edge with the smaller field, because you've got a better chance of getting your numbers in there. Or at least that's the way I look at it.
It just sounds more like it's an algorithm sort of thing, for lack of a better word.
That's exactly what it is. You're basically, it's running numbers. Is what you're doing. You know, that's just like with the odds. It's all the same thing. You're crunching numbers.
Right, crunching numbers. Yeah.
Is we were running numbers ourselves in picking out who we think might have a shot in the Preakness. I was looking at a horse called Creative Minister, whose bloodline, and not that I know that much about bloodlines, but I do know Deputy Minister, and he is a proven mutter. And if the weather does get soupy, he's a two horse right now. I think he has a strong shot in the race. Can you tell us more about his breakdown?
Okay. Well, of course, he's on his damn side. He is AT Indy, which goes back to Seattle Sloop and Mr. Prospect.
Yep.
All mutters. They like the mud. Seattle Sloop took the Triple Crown, and he ran in all weathers. He didn't care.
He did.
Dry, wet, he didn't care. He did it all. Secretary, same thing. I'm trying to think of any others right off the top of my head. But those two come to mind, especially Seattle Sloop, because I remember the video of him, I mean, just choked in mud and just eating it up. Yeah, he's got it on top and bottom, and he's got the Secretariat dam lines. Because we all know Secretariat was a premier broodmare sire, which meant his broodmares produced runners. And he's got it top and bottom.
Yep.
But so do a few of the others.
Okay,
and it looks like
mind.
Almost all of them have the same basic combination, to where it looked like they were trying to get an end result that could go across all track types.
Right. But it's one thing to have a horse like Epicenter, who is hugely bet. As a matter of fact, at one point, somebody bet $1.4 million on the horse to win, and have him come up second. And then all of a sudden, see him as a favorite in the Preakness. Now, from what I saw in the replay, I don't think Epicenter did anything wrong in his performance. As a matter of fact, as a horse, he probably was shocked as shit that Rich Strike was coming up on a real path in his ass the last 70 yards.
Yes, because Epicenter he's got the bloodline, and his race record proves it. Okay, this is a horse, when he runs, he's usually in the money.
Yep.
You know, period. His record speaks for itself. So, I'm pretty sure he was as shocked as everybody else. I mean, if horses could talk, I'm sure that stable was, you could hear him cussing. Poor baby.
Well,
and like you said, he didn't run a bad race. You know, they all ran a good race.
They really did. After seeing the replay, the only thing that really stuck in my head was the fact that they went 21-4 and 45 for the half. If you see how the field gets spread out after the half, you can see half those horses were dog tired
and it hadn't really gone anywhere yet.
And that's where a lot of people, a lot of them make the mistake, is they want to set a record, or they want to try to keep up with leaders, and all you're doing is burning up your horse. And when you're going to need that next gear, there's going to be nothing left in the tank, not even fume.
True.
And that's where that mistake gets made. They hit the gas too soon and don't have enough left for the finish. And that's a short track.
It is. The back stretch is short.
They go full kill boogie, run out of gas, and you have others that pull the trigger too late.
Yeah, that back stretch is short.
Everybody else is blown by it.
Mm-hmm. The only one I can think shorter is Oakland. But yeah, Churchill Downs is a short back stretch. A lot of people forget that. Mm.
Yep.
Does anybody on the thread have questions for Jenny?
I do. How was it possible for that horse to go from all the way from the outside? Nobody doing a race leaves the rail open. They did, two of them, at least, to pass to the inside. That don't make sense to me.
I have never seen the like in my life. It all came together, and literally, nothing closed off. Everything worked pitch perfect. Boom, boom, dug in, dug out, and took off. I've never seen it. I've never seen that before in my life. Never.
See, I had a gentleman break down Secretariat's races, and going back, that's 40 plus years now?
Yep. I was 3 years old for that Belmont.
There was no Secretariat had the rail, held the rail. So there was nobody running against it. But, even the horses trailing, they were trying to get to the inside.
Yep.
But then,
and the trick is to get to the inside, but not get all the way up on that rail, because on the rail, it gets real choppy right there. That is like one of the worst spots on the track. You want to kind of come off at least one place to two. You kind of want to be third off. You want to be two to three horse body width off of that rail to hit that sweet spot. Because, man, on that rail, that's like trying to run through a field that has been rained on, and you ran cattle through it, you'll break a leg.
It's no joke.
Bumpy all get out.
Because he just looked at me as if, as the race was finishing, all of a sudden you had this, somehow or another, it's like the gate, it's like the wall of the Jericho came down, tumbling down, and it's like, come on through, and that's what the horse did. And they could have driven the horse with a trail or two behind for the space they had. It just seemed to me as if the two front runners were racing each other, and then they just left it open for that other horse to get through, and he did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. If Jenny, if you go back to the secretary race,
that one time where he got beat, and he said, "What happened?" He said, "I didn't see him."
Yep.
Because he was blind in that eye, he didn't see him, and he quit.
He
lying.
Damn sure didn't see him. No, he didn't
and
see him.
What they did,
and
they were pissed on each other instead of what could possibly come up behind them.
That's right.
And
the horse.
That's why when you get that lead, you push, you don't stop.
The aerial
shot. You have to run it like you are on it.
That's right. The aerial shot spoke volumes, because they started with 20 horses. By the time they were halfway out, there were about maybe 10 that had a half-ass shot. By the time they hit the three-quarter pole, they ran 110. 110 is a great race for a sprinter, but not for a distance horse. And they're talking about the secretary race. He ran 6 furlongs in a 1:09, which is ultra-fast for a sprinter. So ultimately, by the time they came down, it was too late. And I have a feeling, not to say that the horse was involved in a scam or anything, but that horse was a ringer. The horse had only one win on its credit, but the race it won by over 10 lengths. I have a feeling the jockey, the owner, and a select few really knew what was going on. And when something like that happens, thoroughbred racers really don't want to talk about it, do they?
No, not at all. If anything, I hope it's a lesson to other jockeys who are in that backstretch. You still have to have eyes in the back of your head. Because somebody could be catching the back door that you ain't seen. Just because you ain't bleed don't mean you going to keep it. At all. And I know that Gasolion is up on Happy Jack as well.
Yep.
And as we all know, Gaffy Leon is champion.
All right. So Epicenter is going to be likely the favorite. Come the Preakness, he'll likely be 6-5, 5-2, thereabouts. He should be in the mix, but we also like the 2-horse Creative Minister. We like the 4-horse, who is the only filly in the race. The 9-horse. Yes. D-Wayne Lucas has not been in the mix for a long time. He would not come out of nowhere. He didn't have heart.
Yes. It's a team. That's definitely a team right there.
Going to be an interesting race. I would say keep your eye on the 2, 3, 4, the 8, and the 9 in this race. Anybody got any more questions for Jenny?
Well, I think we hit it. I think we got it, Duncan. I don't have any other ones, though.
I'm good. I'm already confused.
Well, sis, you got any last words for us?
Oh, no, jump in and hope you remember something on the weekend. And hope
all right.
Shocked at the last minute this time.
No shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hope we have something to celebrate when the race is done. The Preakness will be Saturday. We'll be chilling, and we'll be hopefully doing a little celebrating when this thing is done. And if the track is wet, you may see something different up there. And you won't see a $320,000 superfecta, but we might see some nice numbers on the board. So.
Oh, yeah. Because the mud should make it interesting.
Yes, indeed. Sis, thank you as always. Much love, sweetie.
You're
give
welcome.
My love to the girls and the puppies.
We will do, brother. Love y'all.
Okay, now.
Take care, love.
Okay.
Our Bloodlines expert. Now, Patrick Frost in the mix. Patrick, can you hear us?
How can I not hear y'all? What's up, fellas?
Shots fired.
You know, sometimes the greatest lesson is just sit and learn. It's an old time proverb. I grew up around the Chimes, and one of the older Chimes, and he said it best. You never learn anything with your mouth open. So I'm listening. I was listening.
That's for sure.
Hey, Patrick, got a quick question. It seems like a certain person on the TV likes to talk about people's money, and certain athletes get a little sick of it. I mean, what's up, man? These people talking about other people's money. I mean, I'm saying they're going to have a fist fight. You know, it could be a Jim Rome all over again. A certain individual went to Salem starting to get people hot and bothered. And then what got me, Patrick, was when J.J. Redick was on talking with Stephen A. and the brother from, I think, the Timberwolves, he said, you want to handle him or should I? And he said, what do you mean handle me? What you mean by that? You know, all of a sudden, attitudes got different.
Uh, 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 Beverly was going crazy. Beverly was going crazy. And I knew it was going crazy when he talked about Chris Paul. And really, you know, yeah, ain't nobody worrying about Chris Paul. I'm going Bev. That's personal. Come on, man. That's personal. So,
But you know, but at what expense? I mean, you knew exactly what you were going to get with Beverly.
There you go.
You know? That's supposed to be quote unquote journalism. Now I'm not mad at mm-hmm. Beverly because he's just you know
he's Patrick.
Exactly. Yeah. But see, they will pass that off as journalism.
And that's the
problem. I mean beyond the whole brother versus brother playing it out on the thing again.
Yeah.
But it's like, come on, really? Is this what we're doing now?
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Tony, they got Madge off on every week. That's what we need to know.
Yeah. And he's in the same shithole as all of them, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't, you know, when him and Mike were doing, you know, white supremacist radio on the Fan.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't.
I called it redneck radio at the time, but go on.
Even rednecks will occasionally watch a game. You know, these fools.
But gentlemen, Pat Freeman brought up a great point. You know, Fox Sports and the rest of its news division with those assholes like Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. No relation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. They come in and they stir the pot and afterwards play like, oh, you know, I didn't do anything. It's like that annoying kid in the neighborhood who starts some shit and you go whip his ass and he brings about 15 brothers and cousins after you and shit. It's that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
If you definitely pull the plug on the cash cow, and I'm not moving on this one, shit changes.
They're more like old ass heifers, but I digress.
For real.
And
that's right.
And Mike, you get on the head, Mike. You have to realize, we all realize, but maybe not to the extent that we should. We realize, but not to the extent in terms of the details of numbers, the money, Fox, and that weak ass Carlton, whatever the kid from Fox. The money they're pulling in, that's why they keep the participation of Buffalo Chips out there, because they know it's raking in the cash, led by the person who was in the White House, who was raking untold amounts of money by spreading BS, and that's what they want to hear.
It is BS. You think about the fact that some of those people Patrick knew that lost their lives, and that I know Patrick's family. I've seen them at least, and I would be highly upset if one of his people was, if one of his people, Stephanie or his mom or Shai's kid left this world, you know, minding their own business, just doing what they normally would do. This is what goes against what the Constitution says: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For black people, it's life, liberty, and leave us the fuck alone. But they don't want to leave us the
pretty
fuck
much.
Alone because it'll never get to that. They have a vested interest in what happens with us and to us. And that's what bugs the hell out of me. I can't say if it's the same as y'all, but it definitely affects me that way.
Oh, no. I think there for the grace of God, you know, for all of us. It could have been at a church, it could have been at a restaurant, it could have been anywhere, and that's the thing. Now you don't want to live your life paranoid, but you got to be aware. You just got to be aware more than anything.
I've been down in Tennessee where that before that Waffle House with the brothers got killed. I was in there. I seen it. Just a regular
yeah, well,
there.
Well, yeah. Well, see, but see, but see, here's the thing. But see, here's the thing, Reg. It could be, look, as I've said several times, the only difference between Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Mississippi, is about 700 or so miles.
That's
the you know, yeah.
Come on.
And see, that's the thing that we have to be mindful of. It's again, you don't want to be paranoid, but you just have to be aware. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be aware. I'm not saying we're gonna go back to the days of Gunsmoke or what have you, but I'll be honest with you. I have no problem with street justice.
Because the street justice
will take care of itself. Street justice will take care of itself.
I repeat what I said earlier today. If African Americans start buying guns,
Or either as Chris Rock
like
said,
that,
if enough black people say one gun,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because
even if you walk in the supermarket.
Wait, the black man.
And I'll do a quick, Gary. Black folks are selling the guns. You got more black women buying guns than black men.
Okay, but
that's right.
But you have the Black Panthers.
Ricky Sanders now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky
knows the death.
Yeah,
ain't
and,
no way
and,
to
and,
say
and,
this.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Patrick.
And even what gets me is the silence of individuals who pride themselves in
oh,
love
yeah.
of country and justice. And equality
mm-hmm.
and the purity,
mm-hmm.
you know,
no joke.
The notion of this country.
Yeah,
that's what gets me.
Yeah.
But I expect it from them. That's all. I expect no more. That's why.
Hey, was it Mark Twain that said the last refuge of a scoundrel is patriotism?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's exactly right. And in this world we're dealing with right now, patriotism equals assholery. That's what we've come to. And that's what...
There's
and
the
that's
all right. There's the synonym. There's the synonym.
That,
see?
Having said that, I now pronounce sentence. And
wait
I mean every motherfucking word. If it please the motherfucking court, I hereby charge those motherfuckers up in Buffalo, not the citizens, not the good black people there, but the ones slow to act. By letting this motherfucker slide through and do his Kyle Rittenhouse imitation with 10 counts of assholery, 5 counts of dumb fuckery, and 3 counts of first-degree scumbaggery in forfeiting the lives of 10 people, and that brother had to go in spite of the fact that he put 2 motherfuckers center mass in that boy's chest. That kid should have fucking died, and righteously. Let me say this. Your time will come because karma might be late sometimes, but she always, always keeps a fucking appointment. May your black ass or your melanin challenge ass rot in hell for what the fuck you did.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Mike, what gets me when it happened, I told my lady, I said, baby, this is what's going to happen. And she was disturbed. I said, They didn't kill him because they want to study him.
Yep.
And of course. Yeah, they want to study him. And I put up a comment on Facebook. I said, let's see. We can have that studying of his profile in the cell share with Big Willie, who was in charge of murdering 5 people. Let's see how we can with him.
Willie could
give his assessments in 24 hours.
There you go. They don't call him the equalizer because he's a math major. I'll just say that much.
That's that right.
For real.
That's that right.
You know, it's a damn shame that we have to waste valuable time putting out stuff that we all know to be true. Now, we know there's more black, brown, yellow, and red folks in this world. If you add everything up right now, it's always been that way. For some white guy to come out and say, you can't replace us or you won't replace us, fuck you. You were meant to be replaced. You're at the end of the scale. You're recessive. You're going to die out sooner than most of the folks on this ball of dirt we call the earth. That's why you're pissed. So don't give me this shit about replacement. It's no theory. It's some bullshit you want to try to make true.
It's fear.
You want to make
it
true.
Well, then, you got to remember, with all these wars going on, they're going to kill each other anyway.
Exactly. How do you think Ukrainian is feeling in Russia when somebody pumps a bullet in his ass? You Superior. Oh, God, I died because Superior guy shot me. No. That motherfucker's pissed because he's dead.
And Russians, and what them Russians doing over there in that part of the world, whew, Lord, have mercy. And to think about it, that cat Putin was in Jersey City about 10 years ago. They almost let him put a statue up there.
They put him
in the next town in Bayonne. One day I tell you the story behind it. Not now, but one day I tell you the story.
Bayonne and the Red Square. Sounds like a damn Fox movie.
Oh,
I tell you what's worse. I was involved unconsciously in the process being laid out. And now one day I'll tell you about it.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes, my voice and my TV interview was part of the process, but I'll leave that right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I would like two things. Fred, I want to ask Fred a question. Do you know this guy, Kenyatta Calvin or Calville?
Calville?
Yeah. He did a nice recap on the Black College World Series. Interesting commentary that I was impressed with. I guess that's his point, but he laid it out.
Yeah, he's on point. He's the dean of sports management and economics and so forth at Texas Southern.
I'll text you his number, Patrick, on Facebook. I got his number. I'll text you.
Yeah, because he laid it out, man. Because he laid out some stuff, you know, and I've always been intrigued about baseball and black colleges. I'm not deeply involved as I was trying to find out before because I was doing stuff in minor league baseball, doing some research about it because I was going to try to do a piece on why inner city kids are playing baseball, and I really structured out then. And my time at Bishop College, that's how long ago it was going. We had a pretty good baseball team. And I'm going, they got guys, and we got a brother in that team that the Dodgers wanted real bad. It never come out to fruition, but Rich, you know better than I would. All these black college teams are just being bombarded by Hispanic players, which I don't care if you can play, and the white ball players, but it just shows to go where we're not, where kids aren't. Well, we discussed that before, but it's interesting what this guy said. Really good information. Really good information.
And speaking of someone that watched a lot of that series, it was just fun to watch. It was just, you know, I mean, this is the second year. They had a big sponsor this year, you know, Tyson Foods. It can only get bigger. It can only get bigger. But it just gives, I think, for all of us who want to see the numbers increase. It's, you know, look. Unfortunately, the numbers are probably going to have to hit somewhat rock bottom before they get back to somewhat respectable. But I just hope I'm here long enough to see a little
I'm
bit of
you.
An uprise at some point. That's all.
With you. Yeah.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and see for those who don't remember, baseball at one time was more popular at HBCUs and football or basketball was considered a city sport because of the way it was played in early on, and then football was considered too rough, so only certain schools played football and basketball, but then track and baseball, I mean, that was a bomb there. Yeah, one of the guys who was very much involved with it, Sexual, he's a white guy, but he knows Black College Baseball. He's actually doing a book on it. I told him, you know, since you're doing a book, I'll give you what I got on Black College Baseball. Because he's been researching this for between 9 and 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he had started out at this. I mean, I could be focusing on something else. But, you know, yeah, I had a chance to watch parts of several games. And, you know, it was good baseball.
And the reason I'm looking at it critically in a sense, I saw some major league, a lot of baseball over this weekend. And I saw this one guy, I forgot who he was. He was playing for the Baltimore Orioles. He's about 171. I'm going, wait a minute. He ain't a pitcher. How you about 171 and you in the league?
Patrick, technically he's not in the league. He's with the Orioles. So that sort of answers the question right there. Sorry, Reg. Sorry, Reg. But
as a lifetime Oreo fan, son, you are 100% right.
Because
it's a good question to bring up though, because you would think averages would be higher since the DHs are supposed to be rocking the house.
Yeah.
How's it been going so far?
You know, I guess after the first month, the collective major league average was 232.
What the Oakland A's are batting today?
Is Mario Mendoza worried? I'll just ask.
Can we try 199?
Wow. And plus, Mike, it doesn't help that they gave up two touchdowns today to a baseball team, the other Twins. See, what's weird, Mike, is I'm trying to, you know, like, look, we know April has, you know, April is always one potato chip away from a snowstorm. And then one day you can wake up, it's like 70 and sweltering. But it's weird now. Here's the funny thing. Now, a kid went down today with Tommy John surgery for the Twins. Another prominent pitcher is having shoulder surgery. Max Scherzer got pulled out the game tonight with a sore side. But again, it's like folks are still not hitting. If you like I said, you would have thought that by I would have thought, say, maybe 250, 260 or so, but 232, that's like, wow,
and
man.
And the highest average, I think, is like 350. I'm seeing either side of the league going, okay, that's okay. Yeah, and 8 home runs with the ball live as can be.
Yeah, right. it's, you know, and see the funny thing is, you know, I guess homers are down a little bit as well. I mean, it's still no more than whatever, but, you know, I'm going to hold to the thing of, well, I guess once the weather, you know, once the weather stays in the 70s for more than 2 hours, you know, maybe then that changes. But you look at this, put it this way. To even go along with that, I think damn near 20 or 25 of the 30 major league teams, they either have a pitcher or groups of pitchers on the DL.
That's right.
So it's 100%. Like, what's the deal?
Tony, think about this, Tony. When they started baseball, it got 2 weeks late, right? My friend, before it started, it got injured over the base. And here we are, 2 weeks into the season, 2 months into the season, we got injured over the base.
You have to have
training more than a month, and they didn't do that.
Well, we're seeing it in all the sports. You know, football doesn't have the two-a-days like they do back in the day. They don't bring in as many guys to camp or what have you. And it shows with the injuries. You know, all we had to do was look at what happened with the Ravens this year, where they basically lost their whole backfield in a span of 6 to 7 hours.
Yep.
But yeah, with the let's put it this way. I still think that at some point when the weather gets, you know, I'm going to take the Dave Parker analogy. You know, when the leaves turn brown, I'll be wearing the batting crown. I'm gonna take that analogy overall with baseball hitting for now. But it is kind of weird that since everybody's using the DH, everybody's not hitting either.
Yeah, it is. That certainly is. A quick pivot, Mike, if you don't mind. A quick pivot to my man Gary. Gary, I got something for you, man, and you're the expert in this. All right. We all know about the various improprieties of the league not for long, but the improprieties to the immense aspect of what the Oakland Rays are doing, that they can hardly pay the electric bills,
executives
being fired, all over the place, payroll damn not being made. I'm going, what's going on, Gary?
That's straight Gary.
It's called ineptitude, complete ineptitude. Look, the Raiders trying to get out of here without paying anything. They got caught.
When you fire 10 executives and the sister that's in HR, she didn't sign the agreement that she wouldn't tell. She said, I'm telling.
y'all can keep that money. I'm telling.
And which leads to this now.
She wouldn't need no brown on everybody. She wouldn't need no brown. I'm bringing everybody down. I'm putting cases on all of y'all.
Put it this way: when you see the new hairstyles that'll come out, don't think that Kareem Akbar involved in it. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, nobody knows that. How dare she? How dare she break the code of the white boys? How dare she?
And guess what? Guess who's smiling now? Because he know he gonna get some flashbacks. John Gruden. Because John Gruden is right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know he got it. They got to get his ass.
I'm telling you, I mean, stuff that's going on there, boy. I'm going, is it that bad? You just built a $2 million state? Whew, Lord.
Well, you know, earlier today is that the Oakland City Council wants their money back. I'm like, okay,
good luck with that. Good luck with that.
They can't send
Put it this way. Put it this way. Maybe it should turn off that damn eternal flame at the ballpark. Maybe it'll send a couple bucks.
There you go. Look,
we know Al is burning in hell anyway. We don't have to be reminded of that.
No shit. You ain't helping Al, man. He said, I'm already covered. Shit. Stop. You know? In our last subject before we transition, as we speak up here in Canada, the Battle of Alberta is raging. And the Edmonton Oilers are ahead 3-1. Oh, check that.
Calgary.
It's 3-0. It's 3-1. That's what I thought. Okay, yeah, 3-1. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys are Stone Cold rivals. Now, Patrick, Fred, Tony, Gary, Reggie, all of us know what it's like to play against a rival or root against a rival. What fuels a rival? What turns a rivalry into just another game into hardcore? Yeah, I got to get these guys.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
And did I say anger? That's just the small part of it. There's other, you know, when you have like, you know, say you have guys that, you know, that are playing from both sides or go from one, look. We look at our history. One of the reasons why they keep beating us to death with the assholes in the Bronx and the assholes in Massachusetts is because of George Herman Ruth. Why do you think Patrick's always talking about that school up north?
What school?
And he's not talking about Western Michigan either. That's for sure.
That so-called ethical institution that you can buy a degree? Please,
okay. That's good. But in the air. Good in the air.
Oh, man, please. Please.
Go on, Tony.
So what's great, here's the thing about rivalries. And I always like it more so on the colleges with the pros. But the pros are cool too. It's territory, tradition, you know, shenanigans. Mm-hmm. It's all there. You know, with the money grab that college sports is now, when you have Maryland and Rutgers in the Big Ten. No disrespect to them, but I mean, if that's the case, put it this way. Apparently, Christopher Columbus came up with the new Big 12. I'm sorry, Big 10, because it is 12 because they can't count. Oh yeah. But you know, it's everything is a money grab. You know, I sort of miss the days when Penn State and Pitt would say nasty things about each other, and then they just stopped playing. You know, there's a reason why USC versus UCLA works. There's a reason why Cincinnati versus Xavier works. There's a reason why Yale versus Harvard works. There's a reason why Winston versus A&T works. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why
Morgan and Howard work all the time. Why Morgan and Howard work all the time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Even to this day, Hampton and Howard still don't know who the real HU is.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Or Northern Illinois.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what's the matter? What's the matter? You versus you. What's the matter?
You know, it's the same thing. Well, let's see if we can tap into the brains of our resident scholar, Professor. You being a proud Ram, tell us what fuels the Ram rivalry, and what is your prime motivation whenever you and your rival play?
Beat their butt.
Okay.
From head to toe.
In spite of what you all believe, A&T is not a rival. They don't. They're scared to play us. So,
you know, that's true. That's very true. To be fair, that's very true. That's very true.
Now, to see, the last time we played, we beat them in football.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can remember for the whole well, one of the resounding themes of the post-game interview was, why don't you all, so you all going to play Winston next year? He was like, no, they're Division II. But they ended up, firing that coach behind the next year. So I guess But anyway, our real rivals are Fayetteville, really, the greater rivalry is actually Johnson C. Smith. And part of that is so many people from Charlotte go to Winston, and so many Winston people go. It's crazy that so many people from Winston will go to J.C. Smith. But there's a church link there that goes way, way back. But either way you look at it, we're close in base in basketball. Football, we blew them. Basketball, men, there is no place like Brayboy.
Mm.
Now,
if
you go to Brayboy, you will learn some things about your mama and your sisters. So then, when I'm still surprised that we still play Johnson C. Smith on campus, because just the numbers of people who want to go is phenomenal. And we've had coaches from there. Their most recent football coach was one of our All-Americans.
Yep.
So,
yep. Coming from.
But there's some things he couldn't fix. But, you know, the kind of stuff that really makes a rivalry, you don't have to get up on a rivalry. You just want, what's the date of the game?
There you go. That's all
we want to know.
Stay in time. That's right.
In the road.
Mm-hmm.
When A&T would play us, we got up and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You see, Fayetteville State has grown to a certain point that allows them some measure of they can get it done. But they ain't there. I mean, they won the last three. We were going through some controversy and all that kind of stuff, but we fixed that.
Okay.
This year, I'm glad beyond measure that young man that was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, all that other good stuff. We happy to do that because all that means we're beating them when they're better. So you know,
there you go.
Go through their roster of coaches, their track and field, and cross country coach, formerly at Winston State. The football, half the football staff, is either Winston graduates or former coaches.
Right on.
And not just leave it at that. Anymore we'd be bragging.
No, see, that's good. Tony, you always talk about going to a game every Christmas with your high school rival. Talk about that.
Oh God, I graduated from James Hillhouse High School in 1980, Our rival is Wilbur Cross High School, which is it's basically the quote unquote Duke in Carolina because, basically less than not even 8 miles, maybe like about 4 miles separate.
Okay.
And see, arguably one of the greatest players to come out of the state of Connecticut, Super John Williamson. He was a Norwalk guy. But the thing with Super John, to show you just how manipulative those red and white bastards are, forgive me.
No, I'm with you.
Super John Williamson literally lived in Hillhouse's district. So by all rights, he should have been wearing the blue and white. But somehow or another, Not that I'm angry, mind you. He wound up going to Wilbur Cross High School. Now, there's been some great, you know, there's been great players that have come out of there from both schools. You know, Dave Sims is a guy that I think people might be familiar with. He did some time just playing the NBA. Also did some time with the Globetrotters. Campbell. From Providence, and matter of fact, Super John's son, who wound up playing at LSU with Shaquille, also went to Cross. Now, let me see. Now with Hillhouse, the former commissioner of the NBA, Maurice Podoloff, he is a Hillhouse grad. Some other those are just Floyd Little, of course, the Hall of Famer from I gotta relate this story. I saw the if anyone's ever seen the movie The Express, you know there's a scene in there where you see Ernie Davis going to recruit Floyd.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everything about the scene is wonderful, except for one thing. Now, mind you, Floyd went to Hillhouse, which colors are blue and white. Cross, the rivals, are red and white. When they showed him running in a red and white uniform, I screamed watching the film. No! How could you mess that up? You cannot put him in. I'd rather see him in chartreuse and pink than red and white. Of all things, I was personally offended when they did that. So
Tony, just say it was artistic license.
You know what? If that's the case, then I'm gonna get an artistic Buford Pusser stick and put a little bit more of offensive license on them as well. Anyway, I'll defend it like this. One of my favorite Hillhouse teams when I was a sophomore, they were 9-10 during the season. But somehow or another, they were able to make the state playoffs. Don't ask me how. I don't know how, but they made it. Mm-hmm. They win their first game. Their second game in the tournament, they have to play Cross at a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, everybody and their mama said, y'all going to get beat. You know, your mama going to get beat. Your mama's mama is going to get beat. You know, all of that. They opened up a can of whoop-ass on them from the first quarter on and wound up beating them by 23. To put it all in perspective, they went all the way and won the state title after that.
Yeah.
Still my favorite.
There you go.
Still my favorite. I still see those guys today. You know, they don't move quite as fast, of course, as they did back in the South 70s. But yeah, and see, here's the thing. My oldest sister, she went to Hillhouse. My older brother, he went to Hill House. Myself, I went to Hill House. So, what school did my younger sister go to?
Cross. That young school.
There's always one. There's always one. There's always one. Just, they don't get the memo. They don't get the memo.
There's always one. Reggie, who turned out to be your biggest rival school-wise or team-wise? Reggie, where you go?
You know what? It's awful. It's early. Is it early for sandwich time? Drinking problem if it's going to be that much money. Gee whiz.
Yeah, I was going to say. But that's all right.
This is back in 1978.
Wow.
The rookie today cost $5,000.
Oh,
jeez.
$5,000 for a Snooki puppy? See, I resort to gold tapping too. I don't think so.
And that's why they put when Northern Illinois game came up, they put armed guards around the movie.
Okay. Armed guards, for real. Patrick, you always speak lovingly about the school up north. How did you get exactly into that coming from Bishop College?
Well, actually, it started in Jersey City, where there's a school about 2 miles from us, Abraham Lincoln High School, which my best friend, since I was 13, he was on that team, and that school has a couple guys you might name Cool in the Gang, and somebody named Ozzie Nelson, all alumni of that school. Of course, that high school where I went, and me and a guy named Rich Glover, who was, you know, Hall of Famer. He and I played the same team. We played the same side. He was the defensive end. I was cornerback and safety. And, you know, the rivalry is intense. And when people mention athletics in Jersey City, they start with Lincoln and Snyder. Or the other teams still know Lincoln and Snyder. So. And that led to, obviously, when I was at Bishop, you know, for a while, and it was Bishop, and at that time, it was Bishop playing Prairie View, and they thought they could compete with Tennessee State, but wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. Then I left and went to Ohio State and found refuge and understanding what pride and tradition is. Spoiled by some individuals who wear colors that don't match in my mind, maize and whatever you call it. Fred put it right. What time of the game? After the game, after we beat them on November 26th, the first thing we're going to ask is, forget when the week was. We forget when after we pour the when the game is over, we start pouring various substances that, you know, you're all familiar with. Next thing to say, what time is game next year? Okay.
Come on.
It's just
that's right.
Gary in Columbus, that's cuss words. Now I told people, you know, they, you know, give them credit. Last year they took advantage of us last year. After not playing in Columbus, this is the third. It's been 3 years they haven't played in Columbus. They'll be back in Columbus this year. One of the coaches, Gavis, officer, made a statement after the game. Ohio State, they're not tough. They're just finesse team. We'll always be finesse teams. And guess what they did? That's on the wall inside of Philly. They're not tough enough. They're finesse team.
Right next to the Yoo-Hoos that they'll be drinking right after the game, too, right?
And here's what's worse. Here's what's worse. You see, this is what people at that institution do. Talk smack. Where's guys now? Guys left that school and went to come pro to the pros because they're waiting for him when he got to Columbus.
If Patrick doesn't make you feel any better, he's probably going to catch all sorts of hell playing for the Blue Lions.
Wherever he plays, I'm personally going to find a letter and send it to him. That pissed me off. You know, I ain't played football since I had hair. I said, I want to come after one game just to smack somebody and send them a copy of it. You know, because when you hit with the last 15-17 games.
That's what a rival is supposed to do.
Please.
As I say this, the Calgary Flames, excuse me, are whipping on the Edmonton Oilers. It's 5-1. So they
They
mama's ass, no matter who ass, somebody in their ass whipped, and right now the Calgary is taking Edmonton to the woodshed. Should be an interesting series.
Mike, I'm going to point out something, man. You know, I've been watching some of the broadcasts on ESPN about the hockey. Super is doing a real nice job on the broadcast.
Yeah. But see,
hockey
is never that problem. They always seem to do a decent job on hockey. You know, what I'm liking about this is that the brothers are being involved. You had that Battle of Florida the other night, and the first goal was scored by brother Anthony Duclair. The second goal was scored, that should have tied it, was also scored by Duclair, but they ruled it off. And the winning goal was scored by brother in Belmore of Tampa Bay. So the brothers are definitely making their feelings and their presence known.
Michael, what annoyed me more than anything else, every two to one, I said, okay, let this game end right now. Because I knew they scored more goals. They would know by the black involvement. And when it came to 4-1, that's exactly what they did.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you got to remember, the game wouldn't have started, or the score wouldn't have started without that goal, and Anthony Duclair scored a beautiful give-and-go pass, and the resounding goal that tied it up, that would have tied it up, was a tip in by Duclair. He stayed on top of it, and it should have been a good goal. I don't know about all the other technical stuff, but the long and short of it is our faces are there, and now they have to be included in the conversation. It wasn't that long ago, 20 years ago, they would rule them out. They wouldn't say anything. The only outstanding player, aside from Jerome McGinley, was Grant Fuhr. And, of course, the conversation began and ended with him. There were other black players, but they were considered spare parts compared to these two guys, who were legitimate superstars.
Mike, you know, I don't know a lot about hockey, but I will say this. As an old ex-athlete, I got to give them better credit. Because they're playing that kind of game under that environment with people with sticks in their hands. That's why brothers don't play. At least in this country. Let's be real. For them to go through that kind of process on ice, I give them more credit than I can explain. I really do.
Yeah.
That's
no doubt. Just the skating alone to me.
You see, beyond the fact that you got brothers out there with sticks, you got brothers out there against white guys with sticks.
There you go.
I have a bunch of
you don't need the stick to make your point, but it does help.
it's legal. I mean, because I got an issue with the scar. I actually have a niece and a nephew that is star lacrosse players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they started at about 10 years old. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
with things being as they are, each of them have been called a nigger before and a few other things. And interestingly enough, it was a sister who is older, who's a senior this year. And she is the one that, As our coaches tell us, fellas, if you can't do it in the flow of the game, don't retaliate. She's got a couple of broken noses, a couple of loose teeth, and some other things, all in the flow of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, as they say, she's the mean. Middle child. The older girl is a volleyball player.
See,
Temple. But you talking about, you know, there's a way to get even in volleyball that's just almost unbelievable. Go up high, back it low. I've seen women get knocked cool, smooth out on the volleyball court. And see,
that ball flying 100 miles
kind of
at your face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, that's one of the beauties of playing. Because I don't understand hockey. I still watch the wait for the fights. And
is basketball
they're taking
on skates? Is basketball on skates?
See, Mike, one thing I totally don't understand with hockey is this whole thing. I was watching somebody was playing the King Eric game. Who are supposed to be playing now if they ain't finished. They were playing, and I see this guy, they call it hitting or checking or whatever. Homeboy looked like he was about 6'8", 6'9", and he cracked this dude. It was looked like he was about 5'9", 5'10", about 165, 170.
Yeah.
But then later on, I saw how he got in. And
okay,
they might
be
both. It is now 6'2". That amazes me. I've seen big rascals. Yes, it's Alan Chera, 6'9". Chad Greenway of Minnesota, he's 6'7". They got some big boys in there. The goaltender's getting bigger. Now they're starting to size out more. They're starting to become more active. The long and short of it is, while I'm not a religious person, nothing will give you the Catholic Church quicker than the athletic field, especially against a rival. Playing in Europe, I hated the Cowboys. Playing in America, I still hate
the Cowboys.
In Europe, it was the Munich Cowboys. That's what we had to play as the Duke Panthers. But, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, I hate those motherfuckers for the same reason and then some. But a rivalry is nothing if you don't take turns beating each other's ass. You have to do that at least once. If you don't
do it
at least once, then it's not a rivalry.
They got work to do. They got work to do with the Eagles. Then come on, man. They got to do better with the Eagles. Then
the Eagles and Giants don't love each other, bro. I'm gonna tell you that for sure. and the Eagles have picked up another cornerback today. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think they did that out of spite. I think they did that out of spite more than anything else.
Football Giants.
Yeah, man.
Football Giants.
I love being in press box on a Giant Eagle game, either one, and pointing out, forget the field on the field, the fights in the stands in Philadelphia, but you want to see what the Giants play the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, three, Calgary. They're just going at it, y'all. This is interesting. It's more like a game of shinny than an actual game of hockey. They're just going buck wild up here. Well, I tell you, this may cause us to close the door early, but Reggie, did we get who your favorite rival was yet? Are you there? Are you still eating a sandwich?
No, he's eating some warmed up ribs, man. Stop.
Apparently,
I can tell you that the Trojans bow down to the Panthers. The Trojans of Virginia State bow down to the Panthers of Virginia Union. In the white shadow, with and without the white shadow.
Ooh.
Interesting. Okay.
Ooh.
See, that's what we're talking about. But rivalries aren't nothing unless there's a give and take. So, yeah, there are times where you are the whipped, and there are some times where you do the whipping. Because if you can't do that.
Mike, can I interject one thing? And this discourse solely not to erase the significance of your perspective. However, I wouldn't care if them bitches up north win another game in the next 20 years. So let's let you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So back to my
round. Hey, Mike. See the other perspective to throw in there too is the only reason for that rare occasion when the ANT would beat us, back in the day between the late 50s and into the 60s, actually to the 70s, when they left the conference, the CIAA tournament was won between ANT and Winston-Salem for most of at least 12 times during that time. And guess what?
Okay.
One of the reasons that they were such a hot rivalry was when first of all, Winston's coach, Vic Alstein, and Cal Urban used to be teammates at Morgan State.
Ah.
Their wives, and when they played either home or on the road, their wives sat together. Sitting behind the table one night in house of clothes. Herman pulled his jacket off and threw it on the floor and something. And Hal said, "Boy, pick that damn thing up. You see your wife looking at you." It on the floor if you knew what was going on here. We fell out. But the two of them were the best friends. And there was Coach Vaughn, who just passed away. Coach Vaughn was still had a key to Big House's old house, but he died. They never, when they traveled, they never seen each other. They stayed with each other.
I like that. We did everything except borrow money. Now, gentlemen, we have put some good stuff together, but sadly, this does not take away from the beginning theme of what happened, and that what happened in Buffalo shouldn't have happened. We know there's going to be more shit hitting the fan. You know, it's not enough to just be angry at it. It's like, I'm not a church person, but what he used to say in church was, you're slow to take offense, but always ready for a conciliation. Yeah, well, so say if Roscoe, St. Roscoe is with me, and I make it clear that, yes, I'll follow that tenet any day. Now, Reggie, are you here? You can set our final thoughts. Reggie, are you here?
Ray's still eating the ribs, man.
Yes, sir.
So
right here.
Oh,
yes,
hey, sir. Oh, now you're here. There you
go. I had a honeydew list I had to take care of real quick.
Get the dishes out the dishwasher.
I said, yes, dear.
That's right.
And make sure you got
there
your
you
clothes
go.
Ready for tomorrow.
So, what do we need to help with this, Pastor?
It amazed me in my final thoughts that how the Michigan coach just got a nice little raise for football, where now I think he's, I don't know if he's still getting paid more than the brother from Michigan State or not, but he got
no,
a 2-year bump. But what really helps kind of gets to me is that we see now people talking about, oh, by the way, Patrick, how you like my brother-in-law Ferrari?
Yeah.
Not Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. How you like the Lamborghini?
Oh, you see that? Did you see that?
Hey, picking
yeah,
up from the
I
airport.
With a red one?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the SUV Lamborghini. Put it this way. We went to Georgia State law school graduation, and the girls are flocking. Even the white girls came over there to my brother-in-law and want to check him out. They don't know that he's a Muslim and he got two wives, but that's another 2-hour show. And the brother I'm just going to be quiet on that.
No, but just on a serious tip, it really amazes me again how all of a sudden the players are getting screwed around. And I just want to know how long for the players to smarten up and unionize themselves. Everybody's not going to get this big money. And I'm interested in trying to figure out, if I'm a third or fourth stringer, I don't want a fucking free lunch or a free meal. I want to get my education paid for, plus get some benefits. Okay, I'm going to be a punching dummy. So I'm going to turn that one over to Patrick when he does his final thoughts. So I'm going to yield my time to him when his time comes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my brother, I like that. Patrick, go ahead, showtime.
A couple of things in that line with what you said, Reg, in terms of people getting money spread out, the money is going to be disseminated in ways, like I said before, in ways that we can't possibly imagine. One thing I was going to tell you, I'm giving a prime case today out in California. The first Nike NLI deal to two high school students, both sisters, and they are soccer players, and both have played in international soccer. One is 16 years old, one 17 year old leagues. Both have scholarships already now to Stanford. So, it's happening in high school already. It's happened. So, yeah, you're right, Reg. How's the money going to be spread out to everybody? Also, a quick shout-out to Morgan State University. I think they had my frat brother, a guy named Colin Kaepernick, speak at the graduation, if I'm not mistaken, to let folks know what's going on, to keep on keeping on a good fight. And lastly, I want to give another a big moral shout out again, pushing for this. I'm putting a letter together to make my man Kurt Flood a member of the baseball Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Yes, indeed. Long
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Long overdue. Well, Mike, what did you touched on slightly? There's a situation with Delaware State.
Somebody should be sued.
Yes.
Well, the school is looking at filing a suit, and then there's also the possibility of some of the young ladies also filing similar discrimination suits. One of the crazier things was, for those who don't know, there's this brother who looked just like the civil rights lawyer who's the sheriff of the county, and he's naturally backing up his men. At the same time, he gave that little song and dance about how he does not allow it, and you know, the work. Okay,
Fred,
fine.
He couldn't read, Fred. The guy couldn't read.
Huh?
The guy couldn't read. What are you talking about? The guy couldn't read.
Hey, you were not supposed to notice that. If you saw him talking, it was almost like the page was upside down the way he was trying to read it. He was so off script, and then he couldn't repeat none of it. But I digress. But anyway, go ahead. But no, you know, when we think it's safe to go back in the water, somebody throws in another shark. And, you know, we just might have to bust ass on another tarp and keep it going, because we cannot allow these situations to happen. You know, we had the situation Saturday in Buffalo wherein you have the out-of-touch, quote-unquote, folks who was able to do what he did with impunity, really, because he killed 10 people and wounded some others, then didn't have the guts to kill himself. At the same time, we have people out there like these police officers who could have easily killed one or more of those girls just because he said he smelled
his life.
You know, yeah. how you smelling something on a bus?
Yep.
That you're outside, and then they get on and talk about, you know, he gives a song and dance about, if there's anything illegal, let me know now. Well, that's illegal.
Suit.
So, you know, I think whether she gets a deal or not, I think there's somebody on that, at least one or two people on that bus is gonna get some dough, because they're gonna light George up. You see,
that's right.
You have these situations where people, they want you to come visit us, but I ain't coming to visit you. You know, I got relatives that I don't go visit because they don't know how to treat people. Same thing there.
Yeah.
And the kind of money they're gonna put out, dude, I ain't that chocolate. But anyway, I will be ordering books starting Monday or Tuesday of next week. We're gonna release the men's basketball book first, followed shortly by the women. I'll have some information up on my site in the next couple of days, and get that up and running. So by June, we will be selling books.
All right,
there you go.
Fred, let me ask something, if you don't mind, to the point you made about young ladies from Delaware State. I called my boy, who was a former prosecutor and law professor, and he said, Patrick, don't be surprised something comes from the government about that. So what do you mean? Do you know Delaware State? And guess who's one of Delaware State's big fans? A guy named Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would be about time something was used for good instead of for evil and bullshit. We'll see what happens. That's www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, bric-a-brac, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. Anytime's a good time to put some black history on your nightstand, on your table, wherever. Big G, what you got for us?
The Oakland A's.
Yeah.
The Oakland A's today lost the game 14-4.
Ow.
I think it's some two states.
Here's the kicker, guys. Four runs is the highest amount of runs the A's has scored in 2 weeks.
Oh, my.
Okay.
The Oakland are 16-24.
Ouch.
They're already 9 games out of first place. 9.
They got them right where they want them. Got them right where they got the Angels right where they want them now.
Folks, they're averaging 2,300 people a game in the attendance.
Damn.
Oh, my.
This cannot continue. This cannot continue.
Bright, bright city, just to set my soul, just to set my soul on fire.
Next month, the A's and the Seahawks will be together for the 8,000 times.
Why? Why?
Let's do this. Go ahead and leave me alone.
Even Gary wants them to get out of town now. Oh,
man,
my.
That is bad
when
Gary
wants
to
leave. Mm-hmm.
Well, Gary, you got to go home,
but you got to get the hell out of Oakland. That's all.
Gary's going from Billy Bean to Billy Bean sandwich.
Oh,
that's
my. Cool.
There we go. What a dog, Saturday. We will have a couple of clips about what happened last weekend in Buffalo.
Yes,
also, Oba clip.
Jenny says she can call into yours too, so give her a call.
Okay.
Yeah. To do some TV stuff. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Three on the coast, Sandy. One on the west coast, four on the east coast. And more information regarding tragedy in Buffalo. T-Mac, what you got?
The NCAA Division I Council has announced on Wednesday that it will relax restrictions on college football's conference championship games, allowing conferences to determine the teams that will participate in their respective title games. Now, the decision paves the way for conferences to avoid having title game matchups determined by division winners, as well as possibly eliminating divisions altogether. And not too long afterwards, minutes after the announcement, the Pac-12 announced that starting in 2022, the conference title game would feature the teams with the two highest winning percentages. Pac-12 Commissioner George I'll just call him George. His mama called him George. I'm gonna call him George. Our goal is to place our two best teams in our Pac-12 football championship games, which we believe will provide our conferences with the best opportunity to optimize CFP invitations and ultimately win national championships. You know what?
That's what's going to happen. UCLA, USC,
just get paid, why don't you?
Tony.
Yes, sir.
What did I tell you the last week? Gene Smith said from Ohio State's AG and that committee. He says we don't need, you know, we want to dictate policy ourselves. What's that mean? You got what you got a week later.
The five families are speaking again.
Tony, one thing, Tony. My man who I've known since high school, whose father was a son of Italy, has a paper and store he's had for years and various things in there. He's a diehard fan of those people that you don't like in Bronx. he says he can't wait for the game between the Mets and the that team for the Yelly series. I said, you might be counting a lot of fights in the stands that game too. Where it's going now.
You know what? You know what? Give me, you know what? Give me his name and make him his car. We'll get the fight started right now.
Meanwhile, in a quaint little ice rink up north, the score is now Calgary 6 and Edmonton 5.
Oh, my. Playing baseball?
It's the battle about Florida for real.
Carolina Hurricanes won.
Michael, if Edmonton ties this game, Calgary is in trouble. They're in trouble.
That's no joke. You got it now, folks. Calgary was up 6-2 at one point. There's a lot more hockey to go, so I'm going to get
Mike, I thought it was awful nice of the A's to give them 3 of their 4 runs just so they can catch up and win the game tonight.
They didn't get a discount on that. They just took the it didn't happen. It didn't happen in South Jersey. It didn't happen in Connecticut. It didn't happen in Northern Jersey. It didn't happen in North Kakamaki. It did happen in Buffalo. And believe me, if everybody's paying attention, you'll know what I'm saying. When I say once again, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. Gary was right. Gun control, get control.
Yep.
When the brothers are able to take care of themselves.
Yep.
Now, they always throw flags up for Eastern European countries and bad situations. Well, this is for the black people of Buffalo and the black people of this country.
Donald Byrd. Thank you.
tonight.